Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Cinephiles Extended Cut, the show where we break down the biggest stories of the week, as well as some other ones that didn't quite make the cut. So if you like this, be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks. I'm your host, Matt. We got Justin, Phoebe, and Liam. My friends, how are we all doing today?
We're still on this? People are still, you're still not excited to hear from me. It's always, and Liam.
I'm indifferent.
Well, it was just like end of sentence.
It was like a running
gag. There was no ill will on that one.
Maybe a little.
Let's start with the first segment like we always do. What you watching? We'll start to the man to my left, Justin.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Have you not been watching
anything?
I
actually can't say what I've been watching. So maybe skip me. We'll talk about it next week. I can't say.
Whoa, okay.
You can say what you saw.
No, literally cannot.
He literally cannot.
Can I say?
He saw Infinity War Part 2.
Guys, and the name of the movie is Infinity War for real this time.
Yeah.
Can I say what the character looks like?
No. Not allowed.
Can I say what genre
it
is?
No.
We've already been on this.
You'll have to tune in
on this for too long.
You'll have to tune in next week to find out.
You had your chance to share, and it's been revoked.
I appreciate that.
Phoebe, what have you been watching?
I also can't say what I watched. Just kidding.
I also can't say what we
I watched Lady Bird for the first time.
Goodness.
I had not seen it. It was such a wonderful film. It was so lovely. I really, really enjoyed it. And I feel like as a daughter to a mother.
To a mother.
It felt really authentic, like that sort of strained relationship between the mother-daughter and, you know, like the passive-aggressiveness and the teenage angst. Like it just felt so authentic to me. I really, really enjoyed it.
Now, see, it was my favorite movie of the year.
Last year,
yeah, correct.
It came out last year.
Yeah, of that year.
Yeah.
Last year.
Of the year in question.
Of last year, that year, we understand. Would you say...
2017.
Oh, boy. Okay, good. No one's interrupting.
No.
Is it one of your favorites or the favorite? Because it's my favorite, so
it's
you should take that into consideration.
I think that everybody knows by now... I won't stop talking about it. I think that The Shape of Water was my favorite movie.
That was basically my question. Did you like it more than The Shape of Water?
I feel like it's so different that like you can't really compare the two. It feels like like this old Hollywood sci-fi movie versus like this very real, you know, sort of raw film about a mother and a daughter. Like I just don't think that they're like at all on the same wavelength. Not in terms of like how good they are, just like you can't compare the two.
Completely agree.
But I definitely think that like Lady Bird is a very special film, and I think that it's like now that I've seen it, I can sort of attest to the fact that it's so important that it was nominated for so many Oscars. And I think like it probably could have won. It should have won. Like in retrospect, I feel like all the winners were good. Like I'm not saying that any of them were bad, but I just feel like it was such a like a lovely little film. I loved it.
I love that.
So I know, did you see those tweets of like that person live tweeting Greta Gerwig in the theater?
Yeah, I was gonna say before we throw it to Liam.
I feel like that must be fake news. No,
what are you talking about?
One of my friends. So let me set the table for you then.
One of my
friends texted me like, "Oh my god, did you see the Greta Gerwig live tweeting thing at the movie theater?" I was like, "No, I did not." But apparently, this girl was at the movie theater. She was gonna see what was the movie?
I feel pretty.
I feel pretty.
Amy Schumer's
new movie.
Yeah,
and she's just getting ready to watch it, and then. Friggin' Greta Gerwig walks in with like a huge posse of her friends, and she was just apparently roasting it the whole
time.
Out loud.
I don't know if that's
just live tweeting it.
That's not cool.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound
like her. I feel
like
Greta Gerwig is more respectful of.
I agree.
She seems like a very gentle soul. Like from, I mean, obviously I don't know her, but like from her interviews and like her general being seems like very gentle. I find that hard to believe. But that is awful if she did that.
The person was saying that Greta Gerwig was like on her phone and stuff like that, and I was like, I feel like Greta Gerwig has more
respect.
I mean, it's a hilarious story, and I kind of love the idea of Greta Gerwig making fun of Amy Schumer in that movie.
Yeah.
There was no proof, right? It was just this person like making
up
stuff on Twitter.
It's a weird thing to make up, though. I mean, not to give any credence to what she's saying, but it's like a weird thing to be sitting in a movie theater and be like, you know what would be funny? If I just made up a story about Greta Gerwig.
Or maybe
the person wasn't even in the theater at all. They were just like, I'm going to...
It was just like another person with blonde hair.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe she's like, oh, that is Greta Gerwig, but really it wasn't.
That was just a different person.
Yeah, built it up in her head. So this is a tough story to follow, Liam, but what have
you
been watching?
Yeah, my movie's probably pretty boring compared to that. I mean, like, if you're living in 1995, maybe it'd be a bit more exciting. But I don't know if it's a hidden gem because I don't know how it's held today, but
I
watched this movie... called To Die For with Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
I don't know why I watched it, but I was reading up about it. Somehow I came across it. And it's Nicole Kidman starring role. A young Joaquin Phoenix.
Oh.
Whoa. Casey Affleck, who I won't.
That's a reaction.
Casey Affleck, who I won't discuss, but who else? There was this other guy.
You tell
us.
Oh,
Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon great in it.
He's cool.
I might think this is Nicole Kidman's best role that I've seen, at least. It's basically like this woman who's got this drive to be a news reporter, and it's like the lengths that she goes through to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And she meets up with this group of teenagers who she wants to make a documentary about, and it kind of takes a dark turn. Joaquin Phoenix plays one of the teenagers. He's got his head shaved. I guess this was like 5 years before Gladiator, so it was like,
right.
He must have been like a no name, but
so it's amazing. Like a thriller type movie.
It's like a thriller. It reminded me a lot in tone of I, Tonya, which I didn't really like, and I thought this did basically what I, Tonya did, but like a lot better. And
did
I heard
it have
that it was
comedic elements or.
Yeah, it was like a dark comedy.
Oh, okay.
I had heard that this was based on somewhat of a true story. Like, it was like all the names were changed, but mm-hmm. it was like inspired by some case in the States in the 90s.
Oh,
but
cool.
Super
good.
Nicole Kidman plays this like super weirdo that's like very like flashy and but also like kind of creepy.
Cool.
Great. Nicole Kidman is so cool. I really
the best. Great
her.
Actress. Yeah.
Amazing.
I love in, like, The Others.
The Others is great. Big Little Lies is amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Winning all the
check
awards
that out.
For
I
that
also
one.
Watched a horror movie because I was in like a weird old horror movie vibe called Carnival of Souls, which was very
I've
weird.
Heard of that.
And
sounds terrifying.
It's on Criterion. And it's like, it's basically this guy like Herc Harvey, I think his name is, who like basically made this movie for nothing. And like it inspired like David Lynch and like all these guys, surreal guys to make movies, and it was really creepy for like the 60s. It was like terrifying. Mm-hmm. Check anyways, cool. Two movies.
Nice.
Awesome.
So we'll wrap up what you're watching with that on that note, and we're gonna jump into the three biggest stories of the week next. Welcome back. We're gonna talk about the three biggest stories of the week now, and we're gonna start things off with a Netflix story. Did you hear that Netflix landed the movie rights to a new Stephen King story?
Oh, boy.
Ooh,
surprise me in the slightest.
It doesn't surprise
me
either.
Two of their biggest original movies last year were Stephen King adaptations.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably going all in.
Gerald's Game.
Yep.
1922.
Yep.
Scary.
Both critically acclaimed.
And both very popular.
Yeah. Yes. But you let out a big woof. You kind
of
barked.
I like Stephen King. You know, I like his books, but I find a lot of his adaptations are hit or miss a lot of the time.
Yeah, because they turn out so many of them.
There's so many TV movies
that are
But like
garbage.
Again, some of my favorite movies, like The Shining, is technically a Stephen
King. Is that one
of
your favorite movies?
Yeah.
That is a film.
I've heard
to watch.
I've heard it's a movie, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like Netflix has been on this spree of just buying all these licenses and stuff like that. And until they can turn something out that actually makes me think that it's a capable studio, I'm gonna withhold judgment.
But that's why I'm kind of wondering, or that's why I'm thinking that they did land this, because those two movies did so well, and they're like,
especially
we know
Gerald's
we're not
Game.
Doing so well. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Gerald's Game was
also
a huge hit for them.
I also think that like Stephen King is like Stephen King adaptations are like some of the biggest things right now, especially like with It and with Castle Rock on the way, which is supposed to be
which looks great,
which looks amazing, and like that show I think is going to be like the next big thing.
But that's an example of taking something that's like Stephen King set and not necessarily based on one Stephen King.
But think about it, like now, like everything's going to have like Stephen King presents or something like that on it, and you know, it's like this is going to make this whatever this is.
But is this going to be It or is it going to be Dark Tower? You know, is it going to be like there's just for every good example of a Stephen King adaptation, there's like countless examples of how that could go wrong.
Yeah.
So it's not like one of those things where it's like, oh, a Stephen King adaptation, that's going to be great. Mm-hmm. It's like we gotta wait and see.
Well, I'll tell you guys what the story's about in case you're not sure or our listeners aren't sure. It's basically about two inseparable siblings. I think they're twins. Their names are Becky and Cal, and Becky is pregnant, and her parents are like, oh, you know what? Go spend the summer, I think, with your grandparents or your uncle and aunt or something like that. So they drive off. But they stop along the way at this big field of grass because they hear this kid like screaming for help. And apparently there's this kid in the tall grass with his mom, and they go into the tall grass and a bunch of like weird, mysterious stuff happens. So that's pretty, I mean, that's very Stephen King. It's a novella.
Yeah. Okay.
Stephen King loves...
fun fact, written by Stephen King and his son, Joe Hill.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Stephen King loves fields, eh?
Oh yeah, man!
Hell yeah!
1922 has
lots of fields.
Cornfield, right?
Yeah, cornfield. Yeah. Children of the Corn.
Stephen King
cornfield.
Loves two things: fields and the state of Maine.
Children.
That's it.
The state of Maine. Yeah. Yeah. This is true.
And putting kids in his movies.
And kids.
Yep. So, I mean, we touched upon it a little bit, but do we think this is going to be good or bad? Is it the right choice of by Netflix?
I feel like it's so hard to say because, like, yes, they had, like, their past success with the two Stephen King films that they adapted last year. Mm-hmm. But, like, Stephen King has such, like, a specific vision, and I feel like nothing really ever translates properly to film. Like, the books are always so different or so much better, and I think that's the case for a lot of things. But I just, I don't know. Netflix has also had a lot of really bad movies lately, like, a lot. So I guess we'll see. I feel like Stephen King has like this knack for like capturing, you know, like being young and that sort of vibe. And I don't know if it's gonna work.
I think also like some of the best Stephen King adaptations have been the ones where they change so much. Because I think Stephen King, his books are like, he's notorious for writing ridiculous stuff in his books. Like, I mean, like It, there's a scene in the book It, which I won't get into because it's pretty graphic, with involving children. And I heard that he was like super like messed up on cocaine at that point.
He was super high
and like The Shining also like is probably the best Stephen King adaptation, and that's only good because like they changed so much of his
and
stuff,
right? Notoriously and, didn't like that.
Did you ever see the made for TV adaptation?
No, I never did.
Okay, so when I was in high school film class, because I'm like a film nerd,
I had one of those too.
Okay, well, it's all about me now. So we watched The Shining, the Stanley Kubrick Shining, and then we watched the Stephen King Shining, and like the Stanley Kubrick one is like obviously so much better. Like I felt like the other one was just like, it was like a made for TV 3-part miniseries, and it just like, it was not like it at all, but he was so much happier with that. Like I feel like he just has like a very specific vision.
Yeah.
Cause it just like wasn't,
there's no way that like they would be able to adapt it into like, exactly how in the book. Cause he was like, he was just writing nonsense.
There's
at
a giant
point.
Turtle in the book. Yeah, there's so much weird stuff.
He turns into like a spider at one point, and it's like,
that's sick though. That's so sick.
All right, well, maybe
spiders.
Spiders are kind of creepy. I don't know if I'd be super down with that.
Fair enough.
But,
fair enough.
Yeah, very interesting. So I guess we'll wrap up the Netflix story. We're going to jump into a sequel here, or a threequel, if you will.
A squeakle.
Robert Downey Jr., you know, he needs work after the Avengers.
I don't know if he needs work.
Dr. Doolittle?
I forgot about that.
And all the money he's making off Avengers, I don't think he has to work again in his life. Or no, his kids.
He doesn't have to, but I assume, you know, big actor. He wants to. He wants to create art.
He's leaving the role as Iron Man so he can take on bigger, more important roles like Dr. Doolittle.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think we can all agree.
And Sherlock Holmes.
Yet again.
He's busting out the magnifying glass. He's going to peep some stuff here, guys. Yeah, Sherlock Holmes 3 got a 2020 release date. So it's a couple years off, but they're going to release it on Christmas Day. Ooh. And on that day, it'll be 9 whole years since, like, the second one.
Right. Is Guy Ritchie back?
Good question. Not 100% sure. We'll double check that. Too bad we don't have our little computer. But
Where's our computer boy?
Yeah, I'm not sure. We do know though that where's our computer boy? Yeah. We don't have one anymore. We gotta come to terms with
He's
that.
He's gone.
But what we do know is that Robert Downey Jr. is coming back, as well as his co-star. I'm blanking on
Jude Law.
The boy. Jude Law. We all say it together.
Yeah.
Jude Law.
Yeah. Watson's back.
Is Rachel McAdams?
Didn't she?
Oh,
spoilers?
I mean, it's been up for like.
I have a theory about this, guys.
Right. Oh,
so for those who haven't seen Infinity War, this may be a bit of a spoiler. You're not ready for this theory, dude?
I don't know. Scared?
You're scared of my theory? Okay, so in Infinity War,
are these
Iron
spoilers?
Man and Doctor Doom are not Doctor Doom. Pardon, Doctor Strange are paired up throughout the movie. And notoriously, Benedict Cumberbatch played Sherlock for many years on the Sherlock TV show.
Oh, I did not know that.
One of the best iterations of the character, I may say.
And I think maybe they got to talking, and in the heated rivalry, he was like, well, I'm the better Sherlock Holmes. And Mr. Robert Downey Jr., not one to back down from a challenge, was like, you think so? All right, let's do this.
Cumberbatch is like, prove it.
Yeah, exactly.
Prove it.
They have a detective.
Number three, baby.
Oh, man.
It was the better Holmes.
If anybody cares about my opinion, which I'm sure that Robert Downey Jr. and Benedict
Cumberbatch
do.
I want to throw it to Liam for this.
No, she does really care.
Go ahead. Benedict Cumberbatch is the better Sherlock Holmes.
Oh,
interesting. Obviously. Prove like, it. Like, obviously.
Prove it.
Yeah, prove fair. It. That's just fair. Watch
Let's
it.
Let's wait till the third one. Let's wait for the third one.
Actually, I wasn't huge on the first Sherlock Holmes, but for some reason, I really like the second one. There's a lot of really cool slow motion stuff.
I was going to say, was it the forest scene?
The forest scene is like really cool in that movie.
There's one part in the first one where he's in a fight. And he's like describing.
I thought that was pretty lame. I was like, all right.
Okay, what was cool about that was it reminded me of like a bat, like something Batman would do. Like it was a very like cool tactical thing where they slowed everything down and was like, I'm gonna punch him in the neck and it's gonna hurt.
I think that was one of my favorite parts of that, because in the second one it comes back and like the main villain, I think was it Moriarty in the second one, I think. Anyways, they're fighting. And then Sherlock Holmes has that whole thought process. He's like, oh, I'm going to do this and that. And then switches to him. And he's like, oh, you think you're the only one who can play this game? And then he starts like doing it. God, that was kind of
Sherlock
cool.
Holmes is such a suave, suave guy.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited to see another one. I think I don't know. It was interesting seeing Sherlock Holmes from the perspective of Guy Ritchie.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
I mean, that leads nicely into the question I have for you guys. It'll be, like I said before, 9 years since the previous sequel. Has it aged out? Do you think people are going to be interested in seeing this? I mean, we're talking about it. We seem a little lukewarm. But it seems like a fun franchise. I think maybe I'd check it out. What do you guys think?
I think for sure it's worth checking out. Robert Downey Jr. is just fun to watch. Charismatic guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun role. He gets to chew the scenery and be kind of an asshole. That's
kind
of his wheelhouse, you know? He's, these assholes, too smart for everybody characters. So I'm cool with it. I think it's a good spot for him to be in after Avengers.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's one of those like timeless stories as well. You know, like if you're there are so many iterations of this character, and I feel like it's always interesting because there's always something new to be brought to the table.
Yeah.
And like the mystery sort of just like keeps people hooked. Like I'll still see it. I just definitely think that Benedict Cumberbatch is the better Sherlock Holmes.
Remains to be seen.
Yeah, especially post Iron Man, I think, or post
MCU in general.
I think people would be clamoring to see Robert Downey Jr.
More RDJ.
Especially because he hasn't really done anything during his time on, right?
The Judge.
I was going to say
Judge. That's actually a good movie.
No,
I like that movie.
You're out of the panel.
Oh, no, it's good.
Get out!
First the Box Trolls and now The Judge.
Okay. That's quite a
I just feel like it was such a failed attempt on his part to be like, hey, I know I haven't done serious roles a lot lately, but I'm going to do this. Don't forget about me as a serious dramatic actor. But it's just, he's good, but the movie and the story is just,
I mean,
blah.
Yeah.
Phoebe loves it.
Phoebe can. She's ready to make
Phoebe cry.
I don't really care.
Oh, no. There's another question, or, you know, a little statement here.
Okay.
So it's coming out on Christmas Day, but there's another movie coming out on Christmas Day in 2020.
Oh,
Star Wars? No.
It's another sequel. Any guesses?
Avatar.
Oh, yeah, you got it. Phoebe nailed it.
Wow, good for you.
Avatar 2 is coming out.
I was talking about this with a coworker of ours about how like people are really not excited, or they're like, why are they making 3 Avatar movies?
Mm-hmm.
And I've come to the conclusion that like James Cameron knows what he's doing. Like there's a reason that like every one of his movies has made so much money, is that like I think he knows something that we don't, and like he knows of some technology that's gonna blow everyone's minds, you know what I mean? Like there's some reason he's making 3, like, or else they wouldn't have put faith into it.
Well, he was working, there was like a story that came out a little while ago, but he was working on technology that allowed 3D cameras to actually go underwater.
Oh, cool.
So
I can't wait to see underwater 3D.
I don't know if that's making
I think there's gotta be something that's gonna like blow everyone's
just so we're clear, if it is underwater 3D, I don't think anyone's gonna be too excited about it.
But I think there's something more than that. Underwater 3D
I hope so.
That exciting.
I hope so.
But I feel like, I don't know, it's so visually spectacular that I think that's just like a huge draw, no matter how long it's been since the previous movie.
Yeah,
I should
but
say.
Like we just have Avatar for that, right? Like I could just go back and watch the first Avatar.
Yeah,
like,
but
the technology still stayed up.
Yeah, for
yeah,
sure.
But I think there's something that like everyone else doesn't have right now that's gonna be like the biggest thing in Avatar, and it's gonna be like, oh my god, this is the new big thing in, I don't know.
That'd so, are any of you willing to say that the Sherlock Holmes movie is gonna beat Avatar at the box office?
No,
I don't think
no
so.
Way.
No chance. Sorry.
As much as I want to see Sherlock Holmes 3 more than Avatar 2, I don't think it's.
Yeah. Like you said, he has like the recipe down.
Yeah,
for sure.
You guys mark it in your
calendar.
He knows
the secret.
Double feature Christmas Day 2020.
Double feach.
Let's go.
Yeah. I'm going to get that in writing.
Do we have our calendars? Should we write that down?
Siri?
Siri. Hey, Google. We should get paid for that,
hey,
actually.
Hey, Google.
Apple, all right. Where you at?
Yeah. The number one entry, Jordan Peele.
Oh.
Yay.
Yeah. So he came out with a little movie called Get Out last year.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Have you heard of it?
Have you heard of Get Out?
If you haven't, get out.
Get out of here. Hey.
Yeah. So Jordan Peele. Everyone's been like waiting with bated breath for what his next project's gonna be, and he finally announced it. Well, he kind of announced it on Twitter. He sent out a poster of his new movie, which is titled Us.
Yep.
And it's gonna be another political socio thriller kind of movie. I'm super excited for it. The poster is super simple. It's just a white poster, two black silhouettes against it, and there's a really cool tagline that like the first three words like blew me away. It's a new nightmare from the minds of Academy Award winner Jordan Peele. That's the tagline for the
nightmare.
Movie.
That's just
a new
good, nightmare. Good copy. Yeah. Whoever wrote that
it
copy
really
deserves
is.
A,
it's so simple, but it's
pat on the back.
I was like, I've never seen people get so excited about a poster and so little information.
Yeah,
just the fact that like he announced what is the title of his next movie is.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's so fascinating to me that like right before Get Out came out, like people were just like, oh, it's cool that this, you know, former Mad TV cast member is making a horror movie.
Yeah.
Kind of quaint, cute little idea. And now it's like, oh, the brilliant filmmaker behind Get Out is
he's
back
almost
again.
Like he's the face of horror right now.
Yeah,
but it's weird. Totally, he's made one thing. Like,
but that one thing has been so monumental that it's like...
But putting like this much faith into someone's second project is like crazy.
I just want to jump in to build on that. Get Out's budget was a measly $5 million. Mm-hmm. He did a great job with that. But this next project is said to have a budget of $25 million. So
that's
they're giving
crazy.
Them a lot more to work with. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't think that like would directly translate into it being a good movie or better movie
but just,
than Get Out.
You know, he has more freedom to...
Because I feel like the Get Out was so good because it was so simple and so small. You know what I mean? Like, and I feel like we talked about this one time about how Blumhouse sort of has that like... to make movies for a small budget that are really, really good, has that sort of down packed.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jordan Peele, like Get Out was so incredible. And I don't think we've had this discussion before again, that like sociological horror films is a new, are a new thing. But I think it's, he has such an interesting perspective that I'm like, I'm so looking forward to seeing something new from him.
And also just the, like the times we're living in is just, it's so much more prevalent.
You know? I almost think the biggest takeaway from this is that they're giving a budget like this to such like a, I don't know, like a socio-political movie. You know what I mean? Like with something to say, I feel like this is, these are movies that like would be made on such a like lower budget, but like this kind of thing is so in right now of just like movies with something to say.
Yeah, for sure.
About like the times we're living in. I don't know. You see it with like, sorry, this is off, I guess it's kind of off topic, but like the This Is America video, which we've all been obsessed with this past week. It's like, it's so big, and like something like this like 20 years ago like would have just been like kind of like a niche thing, right? Like with like a video with like a deeper, like deeper meanings and stuff like that. But now it's just like, everyone's like dissecting it. Crazy.
Not to go too much down that path, but like it is kind of filmmaking, right? Because it's director Hiro Murai, who we've all talked about how much we like his work. Like, you know, short film, music videos is something that a lot of our, like our favorite directors have done, like famously Spike Jonze.
Usually
stuff
get
like
their
that.
Start in.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about this video, and like you mentioned, I think it's relevant to bring up Get Out and bring up Jordan Peele, is like, can you imagine This Is America being on rotation at MTV? Like, that was the way that people had access to it.
Yeah.
It would have had like a completely different kind of,
you don't think,
platform and meaning behind it. The
well,
fact
that's why
that it
I think
would be in between like Incubus videos.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's why I think it's interesting that like he's like, people are saying that he's kind of brought new life to the music video.
I hope that's
we're
the case.
Really off topic.
Yeah.
This is, like,
so,
music.
So super
but,
off topic.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But I think like all this to say that it's really cool that like these black filmmakers and, you know, black trendsetters are like at the forefront, and everybody's talking
and
about them, and it's like it's about time.
Yeah,
you know?
It
like
is. For sure.
Just to bring a full circle, Jordan Peele is one of them. There, we're back on track.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
there's rumors, not rumors, but Lupita Nyong'o and Elizabeth Moss are in talks to star,
amazing.
Which is really awesome.
Awesome.
Elizabeth Moss doing A Handmaid's Tale right now, really
amazing.
Great. Lupita Nyong'o is a great actress. So follow up question to all of this for you guys. You know, Get Out set a super high bar for not just like horror films, but obviously Jordan Peele himself. Will this movie live up to it? Do we think it's going to be as good? What's our initial thought process behind that?
I have total faith in and Jordan Peele.
Me too.
Yeah.
Is this put out by Blumhouse?
No.
No, Universal Pictures. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I guess they could, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it should because, like, I don't think he's going to put out something that's bad, but I think you see this often with, like, these filmmakers that have so much hype behind them, like, famously with the guy who made Donnie Darko.
Mm.
That was, like, his next movie, Southland Tales.
Oh, was that his follow-up? Yeah. I remember he made The Box.
And now, like, where is he? Did he make The Box?
Yeah. Or The Button?
Is it Richard Kelly?
I don't remember.
I don't know. But I just think, like, it's always scary to put so much faith behind someone. But, I mean, I'm obviously excited because, like, Get Out is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Like, I do think it could be as good. Not necessarily better, but I do think he's going to have, like, another success. But it's always just, like, such a scary thought when you come out with something as good as that as your first movie, you know? It's just always just hard to kind of live up to that.
I've never seen something so deemed a classic so fast, right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was, like, it came out and people were just, like, it was just in the canon of, like, horror.
Amazing.
Or, like,
I had a closing note, if you will.
Yes, sure.
I had a screenwriting teacher once who said, you spend your whole life making your first project and, like, a year making your second.
Yeah.
I think that's a fun way of thinking about it. Like, Jordan Peele, like, has been thinking about what his first movie would be for so long.
Yeah.
And now to, you know, so quickly be like, this is my next movie.
Yeah.
It does change things a little bit. And I think that's, like, we'll see what he's really made of and what he can come up with on a repeatable basis.
I think anybody would write him a blank check after Get Out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, please.
Yeah.
And it's interesting you mentioned that. Like, I've read interviews where as he's filming Get Out, or, like, when he got all the go-aheads to do Get Out, he was obviously really stoked. But he's like, when I was working on Get Out, I had, like, 3-4 other projects of, like, social commentary horror movies going on in my head.
Right.
So
awesome.
He has a few others after this one ready, hopefully.
I'm ready.
Fingers crossed. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that wraps up the three biggest stories of the week. But there are some that didn't make the cut. And that's called that segment's called The Cutting Room Floor. We're going to get to that next. Welcome back to the Cinephiles Extended Cut. If you want to check out the show as an audio podcast, we have it on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time for The Cutting Room Floor. These are the stories that didn't quite make the cut, but we're going to talk about them anyways. A new trailer dropped yesterday. It was yesterday, right? Predator?
Yes.
Oh, Predator.
Yeah. To be honest, I already forgot about it.
Yeah, I forgot. Oh. I watched it. I was like, did I watch it? Yeah, I did.
Did any of you like it?
Yes.
Oh,
really?
Justin.
Really?
Let's start with the positive.
Okay, go ahead.
Justin. Like I was saying, well, I didn't like the trailer.
Why would you like that?
Justin?
I'm a big Shane Black head.
Same.
Yes.
I love Shane Black.
The nice guys.
And this movie had this trailer had little moments of, like, oh, I can tell Shane Black is making this movie. Like, there was a scene with Sterling K. Brown where he kind of looks at his partner. He's like, this guy saw some stuff. And I was like, that's so good. And I hope the movie is like that. But there was a lot of stuff in the trailer that was just like any other sci-fi action movie, like Invasion kind of movie. Which didn't interest me all that much, but I know that when you actually sit down and the writing of the movie is going to be what people come away liking, not so much. It's Predator, right?
Yeah.
It's like something we've seen before. It's not going to blow
get the
anyone.
Action
yeah.
scenes. Yeah,
you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But I think where this movie can really shine is in the dialogue and the characterization,
which I think we don't really see much of in the trailer.
We get
it's mostly just
none.
Jacob Tremblay because they're like
playing with a.
Did you like that?
Threw
scene?
Me out immediately.
That was weird. Yeah, that was weird.
I was like.
You didn't like the juxtaposition?
Jacob Tremblay. It's just Jacob Tremblay to me. He's like just a cute kid that everyone freaks out over.
Yeah.
Over
it's
one
funny
movie that
you
he's
say
in.
That
he hasn't done anything since.
How old
sorry,
is he
he's
now?
A child. That I shouldn't be saying.
Yeah, you're like trash.
You're like roasting him.
Come
geez.
On.
But I feel when he was like playing when he was playing with the toy and he's like, I was like, is he a little old to be playing with toys like that?
He's like 25 years old.
How dare you?
Is he like 13
Yeah, it's been like
30
years since Room.
14? Anyways.
It's funny because that scene actually reminded me of the opening of The Nice Guys a little bit.
Yeah,
true, eh?
It's kind of
almost
exactly.
Yeah, it's almost the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Jacob
Kid
Tremblay threw
crash?
Me right out of the trailer. It reminded me a lot of the Venom trailer in a way. The first Venom trailer.
Oh, no.
In
we
that,
can't
like,
start
it was,
with that.
In that, it felt like they were just trying to make the most generic trailer I've like ever. Like they were. It was almost like they were competing to see who could make the most generic
wow.
trailer.
Yeah.
Hello, Venom trailer people. We're coming for you.
Do better.
Because it was just like, it was so generic that I like immediately forgot I had watched it.
Mm-hmm. But it has a good cast. I mean, there's a lot
amazing
of
cast.
Good people in there. You had mentioned Jacob
Tremblay,
Sterling K. Brown, also Trevante Rhodes of Moonlight fame, Keegan-Michael Key.
Yep.
See, that's
he's sweet.
That's
Olivia
where
Munn,
I got
too.
The most excited.
Holbrook? Yeah.
I don't know if
big
I'm
cast.
Excited about Olivia Munn.
She's great. I like
she's
Olivia
cool.
Munn.
Is she?
Yeah.
She's okay.
She's kind of one X-Men. Note, but that one note is pretty good.
That's what got me most excited was Trevante Rhodes, because like after I saw Moonlight, I was like, what is this guy doing next? And I saw Predator, and I was like, oh boy.
Weird follow-up.
Got to make that go.
Got to get that money.
Moonlight and that paper. Predator.
Do you guys think you're going to go see it?
Yeah, for sure.
I think there's something similar to the Venom trailer. I think there's something weird about this trailer, and they're cutting it in a specific way.
Yeah, I agree.
To like hide either dialogue or, I don't know.
So we have examples of movies with good trailers that ended up being bad movies, like Suicide Squad. I'm holding out hope that this and Venom are bad trailers for good movies.
Yeah.
We shall see.
We shall see. On to the next one, shall we? Tarantino. More news on his new movie, Once Upon a Time in America. New castings.
Yep.
Basically, a lot of the veterans of the Tarantino universe, if you will. We got Burt Reynolds, Kurt Russell, Michael Madsen, and Liam sent me a very funny G-chat the other day about it. Do you care to share?
Is it what I think it is? Didn't excite me at all. It's just a bunch of white dudes.
Yeah.
Old white dudes in the movie.
Exactly.
This is like the most boring casting I think like I've ever seen.
Did they even have to announce this? Like I kind of, it's kind of par for the course.
It was
right?
The most boring casting news. I was like, this movie is just like. Yeah.
But with that said, are any of us actually like upset that these guys are casted, or it's just kind of like, oh, you know, no, business as usual?
It makes sense. Underwhelming.
Whatever.
Yeah, I feel like Margot Robbie is like the exciting thing about that.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. Like her, it's been rumored for so long, because
She's cool, you know. But like, come on, that's like the most boring casting ever.
I also
I don't think it's not going to be good because of it. It's just like so boring.
But I don't think they're going to have big roles in the movie either. It seems like it's really they're getting them there to be like background actors, which
I'm like, get anybody,
But see, this is interesting. I'm just going to bring this up. I'm blanking on his name. Wes Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
he uses the same people all the time. Yeah, have we ever reacted that way? It's funny because, I'm calling myself out, too. Like, when I saw this, I was just like, same old white dudes. I wasn't necessarily upset, but...
I think we can agree, though, that the recurring Wes Anderson cast is a little bit more interesting than that.
Yeah. I'd rather
see Jeff Goldblum.
I get more excited seeing Bill Murray doing Wes Anderson stuff than I do about Michael Madsen doing Quentin.
That's a, you know what? That's a fair rebuttal. Yeah, because that cast is very diverse.
It's fascinating.
Tilda Swinton's an awesome mainstay, I will say.
Versus, Michael Madsen being grumpy again. Yeah. Just the grumpiest guy.
Like, that's the best.
That's all he does.
Especially, like...
He's great at being
grumpy. After
all this
controversy about Quentin Tarantino recently, just throw out a bunch of old white dude names is kind of weird.
I'm still stoked about this movie, though.
Oh, for sure.
I'm still stoked about the story, but the casting news so far has not got me that excited. Leo and Margo? Leo?
Leo
and Brad Pitt.
Who else is Brad Pitt? Yeah. Like, that's still just like...
Oh, no.
There's other people other than A-list actors that could be in your movie, you know what I mean?
I feel like it's, like I said, it's just so predictable. It's so, like... Who would you cast in like your ideal movie? It's like all the same people.
Well, if you could, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
If
you're Quentin Tarantino, I don't know.
Do you have to? Like, I don't know.
I'm probably a little biased. Leo is my favorite actor of all time, but when he teamed up with Tarantino for Django Unchained, I was like, this is awesome. And I honestly thought that he was way better than Christoph Waltz in that movie too. I thought he should have won the Academy Award. I know he had a smaller role, but Christoph Waltz just plays the same dude all the time.
Okay, I'm going to draw the line there.
All the time.
Christoph Waltz is like one of the best actors.
He's a great actor.
On the market right now. Underrated.
You wouldn't say
his performance in Inglourious Basterds was like bone chilling.
Yeah.
That's like amazing. Oh, and he was really, really good in Django. Like you can't say that he's... Like,
I didn't say he was
he's
bad.
Like, you, no, but you said he plays one the note. Same. Okay. He's
pretty
one note. He's not
really
one
great,
note.
Really great Christoph Waltz performance is
you're gonna say Green
Carnage.
Hornet.
Don't even bring up Carnage, man. We're not going there.
You don't like Carnage?
Do you want to go at it?
Dude, Carnage is great.
I'll just leave it at Roman Polanski.
That's true, actually. I forgot that it was a Roman Polanski.
You're just going to leave it at that,
nonetheless, nonetheless, Christoph Waltz is incredible in that movie. It was a great performance.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Christoph Waltz isn't a great actor.
Fair.
But Matt did.
No. Fair. No, that's not true. I said he's a really good actor, but he's pretty one note.
He's not. He's not one note. And I really disagree with you. I think like he's been in a few films as of late that have sort of underutilized him and sort of like really only played on the way that he can play a villain so well. Like he was in the James Bond movie and it was I was so disappointed. Like the only reason that I don't care about James Bond at all. Mm-hmm. The only reason I went to go see it because Christoph Waltz is like one of my favorite actors. And I was come on. Like this is such a, the character was one dimensional.
Yes.
His performances, however, are not.
That's fair. I'll give you that. He's not one dimensional, but the performances where everyone raves about is the same performance.
You can't know.
I think that like the performances he's done recently have lowered his stock. Yeah. For sure.
Zero
like,
Theorem. Do you remember that one?
With Terry Gilliam.
Yeah. Big Eyes.
Yeah. True. After nice. Like post Inglourious, like right after Inglourious Basterds and right after Django, I'm like he probably could have done anything, but I feel like he wasn't picking the right roles or he was just in a string of bad movies and they've kind of lowered his stock a little bit. So like that name is kind of not as exciting.
I'm ready for that big return to form from Christoph Waltz.
Me too.
Yeah. Excellent way to wrap that up.
How did we get to Christoph Waltz again?
Hey, it happens.
Quentin Tarantino, brother.
Yeah. We were talking about Leo and then, you know, escalated.
Yeah.
So the next one, we're going to go to a galaxy far, far away for this one. Solo, a Star Wars story. No, not Star Trek. That's the wrong tagline, Liam.
Different.
But yeah, so Solo, a Star Wars story premiered at the prestigious Cannes Film Festival this week. And some of the early reviews are in, guys.
Yeah, and?
What do we think they are?
Not good.
Good.
Medium? Lukewarm?
Good. Medium.
Rare.
Well done.
I just want to point out.
Rare or well done?
I want to point out. I can't remember the guy's name, but the guy who
Alden,
infiltrated the early tweets for Infinity War.
Oh, I don't know what his name was, but it was so funny.
That guy.
Yeah, managed to do the same for this movie.
And they still were using his
Variety
tweets.
Used his tweet, and his tweet was, I loved Solo, a Star Wars story. There is a 45-minute scene where they just eat an onion, but aside from that, the movie is great.
It's like they don't read like these
like Variety.
140
take the second
tweets.
To read the awesome. Read the tweet. But yeah, a lot of positives that I'm hearing. A lot of good. Things.
I really hope that Alden, what's his name?
Ehrenreich.
I don't know. I really hope he proves people wrong because I've been going to bat for him since he was announced, and people were not excited. And I really hope that.
I'm on the same boat as you. I defend him, but I do
really?
Agree.
Do you?
What?
I'm
on your side.
Like
why
everyone
you?
Was against me last time.
No, I go on
this.
Record as saying I called him a wet napkin.
No.
Which is
I disagree. I think he's a really solid
Caesar?
Actor.
I think he's a pretty dry napkin.
But what I was saying is just, like, he didn't have the voice, you know? And in the trailer, there were some moments where he didn't and some where he, like, was really trying and it just didn't really make sense.
Well, his voice is unique to him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a little inside joke for you guys.
Watch, I'm excited for Solo. I'm going to see it. Probably opening night.
The reviews I'm seeing so far are a lot of them are saying there are hit and miss moments, but overall, good action, solid performances.
I think we can all expect some solid action.
I've said this since day one. Disney is not going to let any of their Marvel movies or any of their Star Wars movies be bad.
Well, yeah, because they pay off the reviewers. No, I'm joking.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
It's because all the critics are Marvel fanboys. they're not going to let any of those franchises be bad because, like, they just know. Like, I don't know if it's because they've got the formula down pat or it's just, like, if they sense that it's going bad, they'll do whatever. Like, they'll write a check for however much money to make it work.
Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised with Rogue One. Do we think it's going to be as good as Rogue One?
I hope so. I hope it's better than Rogue One, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I wasn't huge on Rogue One.
Ooh. I'm on record as saying that I really like the third act of Rogue One, but like the road there was like really
I hope it's a more complete
drag.
Movie
yes,
then.
I agree.
Because I could never watch Rogue One again.
I tried because and I skipped ahead.
Even like the first time in the theater, I was like the first third, I was like, this is not working at all. But then, the third act.
Yeah, it got me in the end. And I really, like, sitting in the theater, I was like, oh my God, I don't like this
movie.
All
these reshoots kind of have me worried that it's not going to be a complete movie.
Rogue One had reshoots.
It's almost
too.
Actually
I heard it's 70%
like,
Ron Howard.
Interesting. I wonder if you'll be able to tell what's left in from the.
I still want a Phil Lord, Chris Miller.
100%. Those guys are
all
hilarious.
The scenes with no jokes, that's him.
I just want them to, like, improv the entire time. And I want it to be so out there.
Maybe the problem is that they gave them Han Solo. Like, I wonder if they would have given them, like, a lower-stakes Star Wars movie.
Like a Porg movie or something
no,
like that?
No, just like a...
Chewie, a Star
We'll let you give Chewie all the improv lines.
It doesn't even have to be it doesn't even have to be a character that we know, right? Like, Rian Johnson's getting a whole trilogy to do the heck he wants. Why not just give Lord and Miller a chance to do a comedy movie set in the Star Wars universe
so that
it's not like, oh, you're ruining Han Solo. It's like, no, this is our own thing. So
yeah.
I would like to see that in the future. I hope that bridge isn't totally burned.
Yeah.
It probably is, but I hope it isn't.
Nice. I hope it isn't.
I hope so.
So those were our cutting room floor entries. We're going to talk about some new releases real quick here. Margot Robbie, Terminal, new movie coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it looks very good.
Haven't heard
I
much
might
about
skip
it.
This is
probably
the one with,
gonna see it.
Is it Simon Pegg, isn't it?
Perhaps.
It's like
to be honest,
neo-noir movie.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like neon colors. They're just trying to fit that aesthetic.
I might see it. Cool. I might check
aesthetic?
It out.
Yeah. And Life of the Party with Melissa McCarthy. She's funny.
Looks funny.
She's a really funny actress.
Maya Rudolph is also in that film.
Yes.
And she is and Jillian, real
Jillian
funny.
Jacobs?
Yep.
Quite.
So the cast has me hoping that it's good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like a very great story.
I was talking about this with a friend of mine that, like, she turns out a movie every year at this point. And, like, half of them are good, half of them are not good. And,
good for her.
I think she's really funny, but, like,
yeah.
I think she's got a...
She's actually,
but I guess
like,
her
the highest
probably...
paid female comedic actor.
I was
going
to say, they must be making money because they keep paying her those big checks to be the lead in these movies.
And she just loves acting, I think. She just loves doing it, so she's just going to keep doing it.
Good
for
her.
She's really funny. She's, like, really good, like,
she's
physical
got a,
comedy.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah
she's
totally.
She's, like, amazing. Yeah,
she's got a
cool.
movie coming out supposedly this summer called Happy Time Murders that I'm very excited for.
Is that
I've heard, it's,
the
it's
drama?
It's like a puppet neo-noir movie.
Okay,
weird.
No.
It's been in the works for a long time, and I've been following it. Like the production of it for so long.
Puppets?
Puppets.
Because like
neo noir movie starring puppets. And
that is very interesting.
Sounds niche.
I feel like she's a weird star in that movie. Like, it's weird for her to be in that a neo noir puppet movie, but I'm excited.
There's this other one too. She's like gonna try dramatic fare. Gasp, exactly, big mouth open. But it's apparently like this story where she like forges like these letters.
Identity thief?
No,
Matt,
it's not.
That movie came out already.
Yeah, no, she forges letters and like passes them off as like famous writers from the past, and then eventually like people start catching on, and they're like, "Hey, we think you're a con artist."
Love movies about liars, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see her.
Big Little Lies. Pretty Little Liars.
Both
Big
TV
Little
shows.
Lies.
He just named two TV shows.
So yeah, Terminal and Life of the Party, guys. That's coming out today on Friday. So check it out if you want to.
Yeah. Spend my weekend at the theater watching those.
Yep.
Double feature.
Multiple times. I'm going to watch them all.
Oh, damn.
Binge.
Three times each, yeah.
Binge
I'm going to binge
those.
Them all three times.
You guys don't have to do that. We know movie tickets are expensive. But, you know, of course, we're not going to tell you what to do. Do what you want this
your
lovely
money.
Weekend, listeners. So that basically wraps up the show, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks so much for checking out the Cinephiles Extended Cut. And be sure to subscribe to Mojo Talks, I should say. You can also find us audio version on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in, and don't forget to subscribe to our Mojo Talks YouTube channel for the video version of the Cinephiles Extended Cut.